This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Don't talk back.
Welcome to Yak Radio, the radio show that's about, well, who knows? It's a different topic every week, but Yak Radio is always full of information to help you and your family get through life. Now here's your Yak Radio host, Dave Stahl.
Don't talk back.
All right, folks, welcome. This is Yak Radio with Dave Stahl on FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right. Guess who that is, folks? It's the Audrey and Ed Show. They're back once a month, last Sunday of the month. So you can always check your calendar. You can always check your calendar and make sure, you know, that you'll know it's the end of the month. This segment is the SDORC radio show. And it is going to, you know, mainly, you know, talk about everything that's going on in the off-road community. We want to thank San Diego Propane for all their support, sd-propane.com. You can get Dave at 619-460-1705. He is an independent, family-owned propane company. They only handle the East County, and they are amazing. Also, West Escondido Auto and Trans, four locations, AAA approved, ASC certified, Master Techs open as we speak. Well, not today, but Monday. And their warranty goes clear across the United States. So check West Escondido Auto and Transmissions at westautomotivegroup.com. All right, Audrey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. It's been a rough couple of weeks here. I've actually had a couple of Jeepers that I know unfortunately pass away. So yesterday we met up with a couple of different Jeep groups. The San Diego Four Wheelers hosted a memorial parade for a Navy chief who passed away unfortunately due to COVID-19. And he's somebody who I've been wheeling with for the last 9 years that I'm aware of. Back when Pancake Rock was open, I wheeled with them on Pancake Rock. I've done Corral Canyon. I've done a couple of cleanups with them. So rest in peace, Robert Thacker. It was an honor to know you and wheel with you. And wheeling buddies are for life. So we did a little memorial parade for him and drove by his house yesterday for his wife and kids. And
well, we could donate the show to him and his family.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping we could do it in honor of Robert. And
absolutely.
That'd be great.
I mean, not only was he a friend, but he was somebody that's trying to protect our lives by being in the military.
Yep. And our freedom out here for our way of life with the Off-Road Coalition and the community. Yeah. He is definitely one to keep the trails open. He did trail maintenance. He helped anybody who was in need. He's the type of guy that would give the shirt off his back.
How old was he?
I'm not exactly sure. I want to say late 30s, early 40s.
Oh, that's way
too
young.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how old he is. But
yeah, that's way too long. Yeah. Well, our hearts and prayers go to him and his family. And maybe once we get, if you'd like, once we get our feet back on the ground and I can start doing things at KUSI more so than, you know, just new cars.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. But maybe we can do another, you know, maybe a fundraiser memorial for his family.
That would be great. I would love to. I can definitely get some Jeeps and stuff out
there.
Bring
all the Jeeps down and, you know, when we can, you know, congregate to a certain degree, and it won't be that far off. You know, it's just a matter of time. I mean, people are at the point now where, you know, depending on where you live, it's like, hello, you know, let's get moving.
Yeah.
Because it's not getting any better. It's getting absolutely worse. All right. So Ed, how are you today?
Doing great. Went on a little motorcycle ride with some friends around the area this morning.
I'm seeing more and more people going on little motorcycle rides is what they call it.
Yeah, in the neighborhood.
Yeah, right. You know. Up and down the driveway. Woo, let me jump over this cardboard box. Woo, let me go park in the grass. No, whether you're off-road or on-road, I mean, I'm starting to see more and more motorcycles heading east. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, you can't get more distant than on a motorcycle, right?
Yep.
I mean, really, even in a quad or a buggy or things like that. I mean,
that was one of the things that really upset us when they shut everything down, because it's like, really, who do you know that, you know, when you go off-roading, you're more than 6 feet away from each other. You're more than, you know, it's not, even if you do get a group that goes, you're You keep your distance.
Yeah, you're sitting around a fire.
It's just like with fishing.
You're not on top of one another.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, we just got to stay strong. But we also have to, you know, stand up when it doesn't look right.
Right.
Speaking of not looking right, how's the wonderful world of government and the off-road? Have they left you guys alone?
Well, the good thing is they're not doing anything.
I was going to say. Finally, they're... They're sitting at home worrying about their own situations and not bugging.
So if they can't do anything, they can't hurt us.
Yeah, and that's a great logic. Yeah.
They'll be coming back pretty soon. They've been having some backdoor dealings, and they've decided to only move bills that help, like, solve the COVID problem and a few other things. And all of the bills that we care about as off-roaders are being set aside, and they probably won't get looked at until next year.
I was just going to say, probably not till next year.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we have to stop. That doesn't mean we have to
put our guard down. No, you know, we're still paying our lobbyists, and I still get emails from her almost daily.
Because it doesn't mean that they can't do stuff in the middle of the night. There's no reason they can't do things on the weekends.
You know, without a lobbyist, you don't find out.
No.
You find out when the gate goes up or the law gets passed and you're screwed.
See, I was never into lobbyists. I know.
I never was either. I thought they were the bad guys.
I did, too. I thought, you slimy. You're a, you know, especially for the tobacco company or for. Then I started looking into it, and I'm going, well, wait a minute.
But when you have a lobbyist who's representing your interests, they're a hero.
Well, the same thing, well, with the gun show that I do at 4 o'clock. Yeah. I mean, if we didn't have a lobbyist or lawyers
in California.
Oh, my.
It's such an uphill fight for gun rights in California.
It's crazy.
You got to have someone who can help you negotiate the difficult path in Sacramento.
Well, the best part about it is all these folks on the left that were against guns and passed all these laws have now realized that maybe the government's not going to protect us as this pandemic.
Maybe I could use it.
So they run down to the gun stores, they're buying guns, and then when the gun owner says, or the gun shop owner says, okay, come on back in 10 days and you'll get your gun. What do you mean back in 10 days? Well, you passed the law. I didn't. You know, you're the one.
We fought it.
Yep. Oh, now.
You endorsed it. Yeah. Yeah. And now suffered the consequences.
Yeah, I know. So
I was really excited to see the Supreme Court, California Supreme Court, ruling that it's unconstitutional to do a background check for the ammo.
Oh, yeah. That just came out.
Yeah, it just came out a couple days ago.
But then somebody threw an injunction in.
Of course. Oh.
So there's an injunction, right? You know, it's just like playing chess. You know, or checkers. You know, you just keep seeing who can outmove the next person.
Yep.
But our guy's on it, John Dillon. You know, he's our lawyer, and he is on it like a Rottweiler.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
But yeah, no, it's crazy. It's just, and now
background
all of a sudden,
check to buy some bullets. It's crazy.
Pardon?
A background check to buy bullets. Yeah, I know. It's just insane.
I know. And the thing of it is, it doesn't go anywhere. You pay a dollar, and then you get your ammo.
Yeah. And then, the other thing is if you hadn't purchased a gun recently within the last 3 years, that's what really upset me. That's when I went, okay, now I might be moving out of California because, you know, all the guns that I've inherited, I've done whatever. So if I haven't taken it and had it registered or checked in the last 3 years, I have to re-register my guns so that I can go and buy ammo. I think that's absolutely absurd.
I let my license expire, you know. Yeah, my little safety card thing.
Yeah, you're.
And I didn't think nothing of it because I don't.
A scoff law.
Yeah, well, then I went in, I had to retake the test. And, you know, I go, geez, who wrote this test? Jesus, it's easier to pass the DMV test.
It's common sense.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't. There's not a lot of common sense in this test, but that's okay. We got through it. So, folks, you know, what we ought to do is we ought to do a contest. No, we better not do that. I was going to say a contest to name the show. Oh, my gosh. We get inundated with so many people coming up with some of the goofiest names. But we got our graphic artist, Desiree Bates. She's home working her little fingernails to the bone after she beat her computer to death. Gosh, I hate to make
it work. And so naturally you hit it with a hammer.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And not just a
hammer, a 2-pound hammer.
Oh, a sledgehammer.
One that makes a dent. I told her, I said, well, the people can retrieve that information. Nah, it's making a weird noise, so I beat it to death. Okay, that's my girl.
Yeah.
But hey, what would we do without her? Like, what would we do without her, right?
I think that's one reason why we get along so well.
I know exactly why you guys get along so well.
Fun to ride with, too. She's the only chick I've ever met that could keep up with me.
She's wicked fast. Yeah, that girl is quick. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more with SDORC Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Radio with Audrey and Ed. Me, I'm just the trailer on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, this segment is brought to you by the good folks at Bumper Dock Santee, 8711 Magnolia Street. Yep, they're open. Tint and windows, cleaning up headlights, getting rid of scratches, dings, and dents. You can't beat it. Bumper Dock Santee. Go to SanteeBumperDock.com. And while you're over there in the area, San Diego Gear and Axle. If you ever have a problem with your four-wheel drive system transfer case, front-wheel drive, rear-wheel, whatever you need, or you are trying to upgrade it, you need to talk to Steve first. Steve is a great guy. He does drag racing. He does off-road. He does it all. San Diego Gear and Axle at SDGearAxle.com.
Can I throw something in there for him?
Will it hurt?
My truck. He did my truck 10 years ago. I bought my truck, no, 8 years ago. I bought my truck 3 years ago. Needed to find out some information. Called him. He looked up his records and was able to tell me what gears and what axle, what was in my truck
without
and what he had done
it
to it without taking my truck apart. He looked up the information
the
and he had on the phone. Yeah. I called him and within 5 minutes, had that information for me. San Diego Gear and Axle.
Eat, sleeps,
definitely.
And drinks that stuff.
Yep.
Boy,
I love it. Yeah. Steve's a great
That's
guy.
Really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, he rebuilt Desiree's truck, too.
Nice.
And he told Desi, he says, Des, what you're doing with this truck, that rear end is not designed to do it. So I don't know if she ever upgraded or what have you. But so, Ed, you had a couple things that you wanted to chat about.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Yeah, I look at grants, the green sticker money.
Oh, yeah.
So when you buy a green sticker, some of that money... that money goes to the state off-road vehicle fund, and also fuel tax goes to that. And the whole thing is about $60-something million a year. And a little more than a third of that goes to grants. And what the grants do is they go to government agencies.
Wait a minute.
And
those
nonprofits.
Stickers generate how much money?
Well, a lot of it's the fuel tax.
But still.
Green stickers make, I don't know, 10 or 15 million a year.
So this industry is not big, is what you're telling me. Hello, we're talking millions of dollars.
Multi-million-dollar industry.
People are always trying to shut you down. It makes
but there's
crazy.
There's a lot of
I know
a lot of green stickers out. There's about 1 million green stickers in California.
Wow.
There's about 100,000 in San Diego County.
Holy mackerel!
Mm-hmm. But most of the money comes from the fuel tax.
Sure.
They did a study to so much gas gets used and so much is burned off road. So they figured out how much is burned off-road, and then how much tax was collected on that, and then that much money goes also. And that's a lot more than the green stickers.
That almost sounds like a positive thing.
It is.
It is.
It's a very positive thing. And we like the...
I'm shocked.
We like them to do the studies.
Sure. Keep
so
you
that,
up.
So we know exactly where we're at. I remember we were kind of nervous before one. We thought, oh no. Maybe they're not going to get it all. But it turned out we did okay. We did really well. But we worry, too, because if the people doing the study gets the screws turned from the other side you need to adjust it, and then we don't get as much money. It's you got to watch it from stem
to stern. Yeah.
So I've been looking at grants, and the state gives grants to government agencies and to nonprofits. Here's a couple of them. The Post-Wildfire OHV Recovery Alliance. That's a big mouthful. It's a group of people that, after all those terrible wildfires, they closed a lot of off-roading in places. They just put up the gate.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is when all the brush is burned away, like, you lose incentive to stay on the trail.
Right.
Because the whole world becomes an accessible
trail.
Place. It's like, this is great. I remember in the old days when I was young, there was a fire and suddenly like you could ride everywhere. Wow. It's great. So, these people, and they're some of the off-road leaders, kind of like me, like Don Amador and Eric Luter has started this. And so they're helping the Mendocino National Forest, which is north of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So if you live in the Bay Area and you want to go off-roading,
you
might go up to that forest. And they're getting a grant to fix a broken trail and a restoration grant where there are some people doing an illegal hill climb and they want to sort of fence it off. Right. So I think that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree.
So last month we talked about the San Diego City Police. They wanted to go up and down the beaches on those things. Well, the San Diego County Sheriffs also get a grant. Now they have an existing off-road enforcement team,
right?
And they're fine.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, because the sheriffs, they're out in the backcountry.
Sure.
And what's interesting about them is that they use volunteer sheriffs. So sheriffs who are paid can volunteer and do the off-road enforcement team on weekends and, mm-hmm. and days off.
For free.
They don't they don't get paid for it.
Right. But they get to go ride.
But they get to go ride and hang out with their friends and, you know.
And that's fine. That keeps bad guys down.
Yeah, it's a great community service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they get grants for equipment. So they have some ATVs and some stuff. And all that is fine. But it was just kind of weird. And there's money for like salaries, like the guy in charge of it needs money for, but they wanted goggles, gloves, and helmets. And they said in the grant that people come in and they work for a while and then they leave it and they let them take their gear with them. Okay. Take your gear. That's fine.
Well, you're not going to want to wear somebody else's helmet.
Probably not. Or their smelly gloves.
Yeah.
So they wanted 40 pairs of gloves, 50 goggles, and 11 helmets. And I'm just kind of like, why doesn't the math, why aren't they all the same?
Yeah.
Like if you're going to leave and you're going to take one of each.
Yeah.
So now we need to replace one of
each. Like 40 helmets, 40 sets of gloves, and
And 40 goggles.
40 goggles.
So why 11 helmets and 50? That just struck me as weird. Yeah. So I'll let them know that was weird. Okay. I got an interesting grant I've never seen before. The Sierra Avalanche Center near Lake Tahoe is looking for $135,000 for avalanche training.
Avalanche training.
That's all like, what? Well, it turns out that snowmobiles get green stickers.
So they go flying up the side of a mountain.
And then they cause an avalanche, and then they find them in the spring when the snow melts.
And then they have a sale on snowmobiles.
Yeah. So they're looking for money for that. And I just thought it was interesting. I don't see anything wrong with it.
No.
Like, wow.
Because I'd hate to be one of those people buried in the snow and...
So they train them, and, you know, what's fun is when they throw the dynamite to start an avalanche.
Right.
You know, that's
a cool interesting. One. Yeah,
so I saw something which just struck me as weird and borderline inappropriate, but I guess it's fine. The Asian American Drug Abuse Program in Los Angeles, that's a 501c3 nonprofit. That's okay. Their name. Asian American Drug Abuse Program wants to join with NIPM, which is National Youth Program Using Mini Bikes. So they take kids, they teach them how to ride mini bikes, and they take them riding, but only if they are getting their grades up.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So they use mini bikes as an incentive for kids to do well in school and in life.
Mm-hmm, I could kind of see that.
And it's I've actually personally volunteered with the NIPM group from El Centro. I met them out by Superstition. And I help the kids ride, and they're nice kids.
Sure. They probably would never have this opportunity.
They would never have a chance to ride a mini bike in the desert.
No.
Yeah. Not until they grow up and can figure out how. So they loved it. So I'm totally for it. They wanted $200,000. Could be a lot of money. So they have salaries for five people, three of them full-time for the year, two of them half-time for the year, including the director at $52 an hour. Half-time for the year. They want a 12-passenger van for $38,000. They don't say how often they take the kids out. I'm kind of thinking like 6 or 8 times a year, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, because you wouldn't go out during the summer because it'd be too hot.
They said they go to Hungry Valley and Heber Dunes. Hungry Valley, that's a no-brainer. That's the closest OHV place to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That's straightforward. But Heber Dunes is southeast of El Centro.
That's a drive.
It's about 320 acres, It's all sand. It's surrounded by fields. It's kind of a weird place because there's fields as far as you can see in every direction, and then there's a big pile of sand
in the middle.
Eucalyptus trees in the middle. Yeah, and I went there with my three-wheeler. It's really fun. There's I like bet. It's like a roller coaster riding around through the sand. It's super fun.
And you can't get lost.
There's no way you could get lost. But what's funny is if you drive to Heber Dunes from Los Angeles, you go right past Ocotillo Wells.
Oops.
And Ocotillo Wells is, I don't know, almost 80,000 acres.
Yeah.
Lots of land, which is very suitable for kids on mini bikes.
Sure.
Has a special area to train kids.
They do have a training area.
San Diego Off-Road Coalition maintains the Roy Dinner. No, it's Roy Dinner. No, it's Harold. It's Harold's. Yeah, because we had the sign replaced.
Roy has the other one.
Yeah.
Anyway, but there's plenty of opportunity there. But no, they're going to drive another hour to Heber Dunes. And then can you imagine kids on mini bikes learning to ride in the sand?
It's really hard. It's very difficult to ride in the sand.
Riding in sand is hard, and going slow speed, you fall over.
Sure.
So I don't understand what they're thinking and why they said that.
Well, whoever's putting this together likes.
They like Heber Dunes.
They like Heber Dunes more than they like Ocotillo Wells.
So,
because what did you just say? Oh, yeah, it is really a lot of fun, like a roller coaster you're going.
It's fun on a three-wheeler with three fat tires.
But if you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing.
I'm already, I'm not a beginner. And I help these kids out, but I was telling you that I volunteered for this, and we did it. I mean, they're nice kids. They don't know how to ride very well.
No.
You know, I picked out the route for them, and like, okay, it's got to be a hard dirt route. We don't want to go through the soft stuff, because that's where they all fall over and skin their knees.
Eat sand.
So I'm going to comment on that and try to understand why there are some irregularities. And I think everyone's heard of an organization called Tread Lightly.
Mm-hmm.
We like their values. So they wrote a grant request, and they went to King of the Hammers this past year, and they want money to go back to King of the Hammers. And that's great. They want $12,600 to boost posts on Facebook, which I've never seen before in a grant. Now, I know what boosting posts.
Yeah.
We've done that at SDRC. We have a Facebook page.
Sure.
So you know how Facebook is such a big company?
Sure.
You know why they're so wealthy? It's because you can pay Facebook to put your post on other people's feeds.
Right.
And you pay them to put them on other people's feeds. This is like, so say your company has 1,000 likes.
Oh.
Right. So you can pay them money and they'll put it to people who are beyond your like list.
Right.
But you can choose the demographic.
Sure.
It could be a certain gender, a certain age, and a certain zip code.
And the best part is there's absolutely no guarantee it'll work.
Oh my God. They're rich and we're
absolutely
still poor.
Absolutely no guarantee that it'll work. But give me your money.
You're right. And so they the funniest thing.
That's a good one.
Is at the bottom of it, they were talking about the stuff they do and that they want to go to Johnsonville, California. Not Johnson Valley, but Johnsonville,
California.
Which I thought was kind of funny. Like
you think?
If they went there last year, they're going this year. You think they'd know where they're going?
Well, don't you read your grants before you send them in to make sure that they're...
Or have somebody else proofread it? No.
You know, I knew the show was going to be fun. I didn't think it was going to be this much fun. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, there's a whole lot more on SDORC Radio with Audrey and Ed on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
ORC Radio with Audrey and Ed on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, this segment is brought to you by 3D Products. You know, if you were to buy a car for yourself or your kids or anybody in the family, you know, that's probably one of the second largest investments you make. And the worst thing that could ever happen to that car is if the paint goes away. Because once the paint goes away, it's $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 to paint it. So you need to make sure you take good care of your paint. 3D Products has clinics on Saturdays. Now, I don't think they're running them right now due to the this pandemic. But I would go to smartcarcareproducts.com, take a look, see what they do. They might be doing it with distancing, masks, and the whole nine yards. But otherwise, they sell waxes and rags and brushes and buckets and generators and car wash, you know, equipment. I mean, you name it, they've got it. You can even get deionized water at their two locations, one in Escondido, one in Chula Vista. Just go to Smart Car Care Products, or you can go to Facebook and Instagram at 3D San Diego. All right, Ed was just talking about grants, and how do people even, I mean, let's just say you started up your first and only nonprofit, and you're looking for money. Where do you go? I mean, you Google free money?
That would work. You get it from California State Parks, from the Off-Road Vehicle Division of State Parks. And how do you know? Well, I think the San Diego Police Department just figured it out. Because I've been reviewing grants for about 15 years. I've never seen them before. So they heard about
it. So you actually review them?
I read them, and then I write comments.
And
then the people who write the comment, who write the grant, they see my comments. And then the people who go look at the grants and administer them and give the money out, they see my comments also.
Okay. Do they ever respond to your comments?
Once in a while, they do. I had somebody call me really mad. I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
But
he was not a happy person.
Yeah, they're not. And then I've had some agency people call me and say, hey, can you help me out with something? For instance, if you write a grant and you submit it and it's going through the process, the applicant cannot make a change in the grant unless they get a comment that
constitutes a change.
And so a few years ago, I got a call from the BLM in El Centro saying, could you comment on this? Because in between the time when they turned in the grant and the comments, that a law had changed and they were able to work on some more land. And so they wanted a comment so they could increase,
so
they could do some more stuff.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was good.
So now I'm sure you only do this voluntarily.
I do. Yeah.
So would you say it's better that a lot of people look at these grants and make comments, or is it better if just one or two?
The quality is more important than the quantity.
Gotcha.
Like, I don't want people to, or I don't think it would help if you just said, this is a crappy.
I hate you.
I hate you. This is a terrible thing.
Yeah, you need to be knowledgeable.
They're kind of complicated. You know, there are lots of line items and they go through all this stuff.
Yeah.
And how do you really know?
Have you ever voted for Prop C or Prop D?
God.
I mean, these people.
And the one word can make it go from one way to the other.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. They got guys and girls who went to college just so they know to
Poor
put that.
Poor Carl DeMaio. They did that to him.
Oh, they chewed him up at one side and spit him out.
They did. They turned the meaning around.
Yep. Yeah, well, you mess with the bull, most of the time you're going to get the horn.
California, yeah. That's the case, yeah.
Well, and I mean, how do you think that they've been able to do as much as they've done in a detrimental point of fashion for as many years they've been able to do it? And then if you look at the lineage of who's been in office, you know, that's another thing, but that's horse.
Oh, yeah. Their chosen successor every time.
Did we step on her foot? Because she hasn't said hardly anything.
I don't.
This is
about grants. Yeah, this is all about grants and everything. I do not comment on the grants. I discuss them with Ed when Ed finds things. We talk about points that he can write up and review it. I try to help with terminology and lingo. Yeah. That's about it. So
I'm just giving you a hard time since you're over there all quiet.
I'm just sitting pretty and enjoying. I like being out of the house.
Beautiful scenery inside the studio.
Isn't it gorgeous in
here?
It's
great.
If it wasn't for Audrey.
Well, talking about reopening. Oh, yeah, there we go. Talking about reopening and getting out. So I heard that Glen Helen was going to open up. So it's really nice
was
that
open today.
Glen Helen motocross opened
and
up.
Paris motocross also, and another track I forget the name.
Yeah, so it's really
75
good to
riders
see.
Maximum. They got to park at least 10 feet apart. They have to stay 6 feet apart, but they can ride. That's awesome.
Which the majority of them do anyway.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, when you have your own pit. You're not on top of somebody else.
No.
You know, you need the room, you know, to be able to, you know, spread out.
I don't know if you guys have been there. That's a big pit area.
Yeah,
they have a lot of space.
Pit.
Yeah, they've got a nice
75
facility.
Guys. Each guy gets his own acre.
No, that place. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's
a big
huge
place. I've been to big races there.
Well, and the good thing about it if Glen Helen's going to open, then eventually, and Paris is going to open, then eventually, you know, Paris Auto Speedway is going to open.
It sets a precedent that, oh, it's working here, it can work here. Yes.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and the biggest thing is, you know, it's going to, you know, this whole pandemic thing, I don't care how you look at it. I don't know if you think it's, however way you look at it, it's going to change the way we live.
Yep.
Period. You know, we're probably not going to shake hands as much as we used to.
Well, for another year. I think it's going to go away in a year.
Is this like detrimental to me because I'm a hugger?
Well, I was
I
was just going to say, if it's going to hurt anybody, it's going to hurt the people that like to hug, you know. And I think, too,
I need that affection.
But you also need to know, too, if you're not, I think this is what's going to come up more than anything. If you're not feeling well, let's say you got, you think you got the flu, or you got the sniffles.
It's a little cold.
You're going to be more apt to say, oh, no, you know, I'm not, I think I got a bug or something.
Yeah.
Before, you may not have, wouldn't have said it, you know.
Well, before, the corporation mentality was totally different. Before, it was, it doesn't matter if you're sick or not, you need to get your ass in here and be, excuse me, you need to be in here and be working regardless of the situation.
I always go to work. I got over 1,000 hours of sick leave at work. It doesn't matter how I feel, I go in.
Hey, I've come in and done radio. I can't. At one time, I had laryngitis, and it was a
sign language.
Thank goodness it was only a 2-hour show, 4-hour show.
Oh my goodness!
You know, and I rattled through it. You know, I mean, it did because
you're a professional.
Well, and I've got the same mentality you've got. Now, if you're an employer and she works for you, you really
liability.
Don't.
Yeah,
you don't want her. I mean, I just heard a terrible story about a front-of-the-line nurse that worked at this hospital that got COVID. They sent her home, and every time she'd go in worse condition, they just gave her cough medicine and sent her home.
Oh,
and
wow.
She died.
Oh, wow.
And her daughter was in the parking lot of the hospital because that's as close as she could get to her, and this lady was retiring, like, in 2 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, and you're going to hear
crazy.
Those kinds of stories.
My cousin Sarah Lott's speech is from Northern California. She flew out to New York to be on the front line. She's a nurse, and she went out to be on the front lines. And
my daughter is in Reno, or right outside Reno, Carson, and she's a respiratory nurse, and she volunteered to be, you know, a COVID nurse in the hospital that's up there. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's
shout out to all the frontline workers.
Absolutely. I mean, if you want to hug somebody or wave at somebody, I mean, that's where you do.
Yeah.
But we need to get some open spaces so people can get out. Now, well, because now all of a sudden
the beaches tomorrow.
Well,
right?
And they just said the sun will kill it quicker than anything.
Yeah.
So, that means I got to get out of the house now. Where before I was in the house, now I got to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. And you always feel better when you get out.
Yep.
And you always feel even way better if you're on a Jeep or you're driving. And I noticed you brought, that thing has to have a name.
I'm not like most. It doesn't have a name. I have not. I just talk.
It's tall.
I just talk to her. I just baby her. Yeah.
It's a tall Jeep. It's hard to climb into.
I know. I heard you grumbling getting in and out of it.
But it's highly capable.
Well, it is highly capable.
I've been
but
with her husband going like, holy mackerel, we're going over that and right over it.
Rode hard, put away wet. That girl looks like she has seen it all.
That girl has. I get people who tell me, oh, you're not going to make it. You got little pizza cutters on there. I'm like, watch my pizza cutters outdo yours. Right. I will outmaneuver you any day.
And you're sporting a little four-cylinder.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a little four-banger. That's for sure.
And I know that Jeep very, very well because when I was a service manager, I had one for a demo. And I tell you what, that silly thing would go and it was stock. It wasn't like yours where you got yours modified.
Oh, mine's got three linked in the front from Highmaster Metalworks. Highmaster just did my my family members as well. Cam, he took his in there. They did a super good deal. They've got it all set up for him, the whole nine yards. And he walked out of there under $3,000. They three linked it. He's got the new sway bar on there, new track bar, the whole nine yards.
Where are they looking?
Lakeside. And they totally hooked him up. Highmaster Metalworks. It's
all encompassing. Sometime.
You know, I thought about, I'm supposed to go there tomorrow, so I'll go and I'll talk to him
next month. you know, how would you like to call in and explain?
Talk about some of the projects that they've been working on. They've been working on some really cool.
I'm a motorcycle guy.
Yeah, you're a motorcycle guy.
You don't know what three link or four link is?
Oh, are we going to cop an attitude now?
We can walk under her Jeep and she can point to it. It's so high.
I can.
I know. But, you know, these are the kinds of things this show is going to bring to the off-road community, because there's going to be a lot of people tuning into this show that have never even been in a Jeep.
Yeah.
Or never straddled a motorcycle, or never been on a quad, don't even know what a quad is.
Yeah.
And that's why I want this to be an informational portal for folks that aren't going to be intimidated, because did you see what happened? You and I both asked about three links, and we caught attitude.
We did.
Well, I'm sorry. Dave, I don't expect you to, but Ed, I expect you to.
He's a motorcycle guy. And by the way, I do know what a three link is, and a four link. But it just enhances the suspension, gives you better travel.
Mm-hmm. Better articulation,
still
so
looks
you
like
can make it up
tip
and over.
But, you know, I mean, it won't let you tip over.
No.
More so than a stock system.
Mm-hmm.
A stock system, you could tip over on a stock system. I know he's not listening, so I have to tell you this cute story. Mark Maynard.
Oh, okay.
Editor of the Union Tribune wheel section.
Okay.
87 Suburban with a big block in it.
Nice.
Yeah. So he lifts it. He puts everything under. He's got cameras. He's got everything. So he goes out. I think it was Tierra del Sol. I'm not sure. And he was going on the beginner one, and he rolled it over on his driver door. He said the roadway just gave way, but I used to do off-road. I used to do recovery and evacuation.
Yeah.
Yeah, he drove off.
Yeah, he drove.
And from that day forward, he sold it and he never went off-road again. All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break, folks. You're listening to SDORC Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Story with Better Off Air Than On. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This is SDORC Radio with hosts Audrey and Ed. They are heavily involved in the off-road community, and we've decided to give them a month, once a month show. It's the last month, the last Sunday of every month. And if you've missed any of the shows, you're more than welcome to go to SDORC.com.
SDORC.org.
.org, I'm sorry. You can listen to any of the shows in the back. And if you're a company that would like to support San Diego Off-Road Coalition, whether it get a commercial on air, like I said, I don't charge these guys anything for what they do because of what they do, but they always can use help. So
always.
If you're, let's say you're Vase Motorcycles, for example, and you want to get the word out to your customer, new and old, then you'll want to get a commercial, and you know they're very inexpensive, and all you have to do is go to storc.org and tell them that you're interested, and then Audrey will probably call you or Ed will, and if you have any questions about why, then you could always talk to me as well.
Yep.
And put all my contact information on the website.
I will.
Because somebody's going to ask you, well, what's the listenership? How many people are listening? Yada, 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 yada,
yada. How far does the range go?
How far does it go?
Yep.
You know, if
I'm learning all of this.
Well,
it's
very
interesting. I was not in depth at all in regards to radio, and there's so much involvement in it of how far the frequency reaches and how the broadcast works, the whole nine yards. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And to make people understand, if you say sell hubs for three-wheelers and you're going to advertise on the show, we are not going to sell any hubs. That's not our job. We're not salesmen. What we are is we're an information portal.
Yep.
So if you want people to know about your hubs, it's a lot easier for them to find out on radio than it is to find out anywhere else. I know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that. Trust me, folks, it doesn't work. It's like you think it does, okay? But when you're on a constant radio station that's over 50,000 watts, it goes all the way to LA, and, you know, and actually around the world when you use the free app, you know, radio is still by far the best way to fly.
Yep.
I love radio.
I do too.
A lot of my younger friends, they don't listen to radio. They have their iPods and or whatever. I love radio. I don't know what the next song's going to be, the DJ plays. They talk about current events.
Yep.
I love radio.
I do too.
Me too.
And I've loved it my whole life. But I'll tell you, like XM radio, a lot of people don't like that because, but I tell you what, there's one channel on there. Did you ever do it? Like I asked, channel 148, and it's called Classic Radio, and it's half hour radio shows from the 40s and 50s.
I like the Sherlock Holmes one.
Sherlock Holmes, Inner Sanctum.
That would be so cool.
I like radio shows.
Oh, I know. And my wife
listen and do other things, but you're listening?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if you're taking a long trip and you have XM, you put it on 148, and these little half hour menu, you know, little shows will take you where you're at. Next thing you know, you get to where you're going in 5 hours, but you've listened to 5 half-hour shows, everything from Dragnet to Sherlock Holmes to Inner Sanctum, comedy, Jack Benny.
Nice.
Yeah. So
excellent.
So our SDRSC's big fundraiser is the Lost Lizard Fun Run, which we have in early November. We've been doing it 15 years.
Mm-hmm. This would be the 16th.
We don't know what's going to happen this fall.
No, we don't. Before you do that, I forgot to talk about John's Automotive Import Repair. Thank you, Brandon. 7447 University Avenue, AAA, ASC certified. These guys are the tops, man, I tell you. So go to John's with an S, SanDiegoAutoRepair.com. Anyway, so what were you saying, sir?
Oh, about the Lost Lizard Fun Run. That's our big fundraiser. We don't know what we're going to do.
When was it normally dated?
It's first week of November.
Saturday the 7th of November.
That's what we've been planning for. So Audrey and Rob, our treasurer, have been talking about doing something else. And it's all fluid right now. We don't have any idea what we want to do, but there are some options. Like what were you talking about?
Well, typically we have to make the decision now if we're going to book everything for it or not, because we have, you know, we have a big event tent and the stages and the lights, the toilets, the dumpster, the generator, the whole nine yards of booking it. And so it's a lot of deposits. And if we don't have our fundraiser, we can't guarantee people are going to come out to the desert, because if you're not working, although even if you're not working, people are saying they're still going to be so cooped up that as soon as you can go back to the desert, they're going to be out there anyway.
Yeah, but you don't know what regulations are going to be on top of it.
Exactly, to be able to hold an event if they will.
How many people normally go to that event?
500 and 700 entries with
a
couple of 500 to 700 entries and maybe 2,000 to 3,000 people.
Okay, so you need that to either break even or make a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put it on and you only get a third or a quarter of those people, then you've lost way more money than you would have lost.
It costs a lot to put on.
Yeah.
That's
so
my point.
We need to get over that hump. And we have, you know, I don't know if people know, our lobbyist is not cheap. She's very good and she's very reasonable for a lobbyist, but she costs a lot of money.
Right.
And we have all these other, we have a storage place and we have insurance and we have travel costs.
I get it.
So we need to have a fundraiser. We need to make money.
Well, what you may want to start thinking about maybe, because, well, I would still do it, but you're going to have to figure out, that's a challenge.
Yeah. So then I was like, okay, well, if we can't do it, do we call it is it the 16th, or does the 16th go to next year? Because if you skip a year, technically you lose that 16th, right? So does it start over and we're at the first again? But everybody says no, that because of this, we should be able to just keep it.
Yeah, I would.
And I'm thinking about maybe just throwing it back to the desert thing where we'll do a really small, you know, we'll get away with it for $2,500, and I'll do hot dogs and bratwursts and we'll ask for donations.
Yeah,
and then we'll do a small raffle.
I would scale it way back.
Yeah, because I think
the raffles, I will disagree. With the raffle prizes, I would work even harder.
Well, see, that's one of the things that I'm really concerned of, because this is detrimental to the off-road industry. They shut us down in the middle of our season where the off-road businesses make the majority of their money, especially towards the end of the season, right? right now.
But how much money have they made in the past?
Right. And so, but whether or not they can maintain.
Well,
and a lot of the small businesses, I don't know how it's going to.
Well, the little
so
guy.
So seeking out raffle prizes and sponsorship is going to be rather tricky.
But I think with the times being the way they are, that attitude is different than if we weren't having this pandemic and you were asking for a lot more, because this pandemic too will pass, and next year, they're going to want to be off-roaders. So you don't want to. So I think you might have a situation where they'll give a little bit more this year. Maybe you don't do as much, as you would done in the past, because everybody knows what this pandemic has done to the community and to the industry and to, and yeah, everybody and their brother wants to go out. But right now, just like we talked about Glen Helen Motorcycle Park opening up today, you have got to watch your P's and Q's like nobody's business. A friend of mine was telling me Sunset Cliffs opened up and it was inundated with hundreds of people. You can't do that because they'll just come in and close it, and then they won't open for how long?
Yep.
But when you're dealing with the off-road community, they're a little bit, no offense, more intelligent than the normal person walking down the street, especially when you're going to take away something that's near and dear to their heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we all should sit down and talk about this and brainstorm something that can work. It's almost, I don't know if you're not that old, but Cajon Speedway used to do an off-road event.
It was ours.
Wasn't it you
San
guys?
Diego Off-Road Coalition put on the expo at Cajon Speedway. We did, five? We did five of them.
I know I was involved in a couple.
2000
of them.
To 2004.
Okay, well, that's why. Because
Yeah, you came out. Did you ride a mini bike?
Yeah.
That was my mini bike.
Yeah, you guys. I know you guys gave me a hard time on that too. But I'm just saying, maybe we can, something like that. So
yeah. Oh, I've looked at doing expos before. I wanted to use the Lakeside Rodeo Grounds to do an expo and pull it in. It's just, right now I have the time because I haven't been working. But before I was working full time and
but
I was working 12-hour days.
You got to write a check to Lakeside.
Yeah, with the Rodeo Association. But that's not a problem. We're friendly with the Rodeo Association.
Oh, they're great people.
I love them. They're absolutely awesome. They did a lot of work to it.
We did.
The rodeo was supposed to be today, just so you know.
I thought so.
I know about it because I was the chair.
Yeah.
We did motorcycle racing and ride-on lawnmower racing in the arena.
Sure, and that's soft dirt.
We had about 50 vendors.
But no, you're right. So I don't know. I think there's things that we can think about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. One way or another.
I would make sure we didn't cancel. You got to do something.
Right. So we were thinking about calling it a back to the desert,
We'll figure out something.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Can you believe that's an hour?
No.
See?
It went way faster than I thought.
Didn't even break a sweat in this oven we're in. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. You Ought to Know is coming up next. And then Racer Radio. Then Gun Sports Radio.
Woo!
It's going to be a fun day. And yes, I left my cell phone at home.
Oh, I'm looking forward to the Gun Sports Radio.
Yeah, you got to tune in.
I will.
We'll get you down.
What time is Gun Sports?
It's 3 to 4?
Four to six.
4 to 6.
4 to 6.
2 hours.
I'm coming on.
KCBQ on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.